I know for a fact I've asked you this, Justin, but I don't know if it was on our podcast or if we've just, if we talked about it IRL. You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay.
Are you familiar with the Costco guys?
Yeah, we're Costco guys. We eat stuff at Costco.
Yeah. Okay. Are you familiar? Okay. So, if you're not familiar, they are, a man and his son. And then there's like an extended cast, of characters who like go to Costco and like they just love Costco. Do you know how they rank things? Are you familiar with this?
Like they have a ranking scale? No, I did not know. I just thought they like ate Costco stuff and said, "We're Costco guys. We eat the pizza."
No. So they do that, but they like rank things by either it's like they'll do a game called like Boom or Doom. Boom is like good, but Doom is like bad, right?
Uh-huh.
But then they'll also like if something is good, they will like give it a certain number of big booms.
Boom.
So they'll be like, yeah, so they'll like eat like, I don't know, the chicken bag, and like the chicken bag is five big booms, and then they'll go boom, 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 but with their sound effect. It's cute, right? This is content for children. It's allowed to be cringy and silly, right?
Sure. Children minus adults too.
I can't stop watching these fucking guys. But it's like there's this weird fascination I have with them. But also it's do you know the Rizzler? The Rizzler's the real reason why I'm here.
Oh, okay.
He's like an 8-year-old who's like extremely charming and adorable. When I say like he gets it,
he gets the content. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like he gets it and he knows exactly the reactions to get. He's amazing. Doesn't matter. What does matter though is that I was me and my band were doing some recordings this past weekend on Saturday. We're in the studio. I take a break from doing recording stuff. Someone had brought me a torta, a sandwich from across the street. We were like sort of chatting about like what the plan was moving forward while I was eating. And someone was like, dude, how is that torta? Cause they had already eaten lunch. And I was like, guys, I got to give this five big booms. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh no.
Boom.
Oh no.
None of them fucking even knew what I was talking about. they just all watched me in silence. Just like, there's like seven people here. Just like seven people who are all just like looking at me just in silence. Just like, okay. And then we like moved on and I was like, can I just circle back to this real quick? This is like a thing. Like,
this is a thing. It's real. It's real.
Yes, this was insane. I'm sorry that I did that because it's insane. But like, the fact that, again, like I couldn't stop because I was like, oh, no, like in the middle of it, it was a type of embarrassing that I don't feel that much anymore. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, I feel like I don't get embarrassed that much anymore. Yeah, what's up?
So in a general sense here.
Yeah.
Where do you watch the Costco guys? Like, are they a TikTok? Are they like just a video? Or they, did you watch them on Jimmy Fallon that one time?
Don't get me started about their Jimmy Fallon appearance. Okay. Jimmy Fallon, for whatever reason, like fucking hated these guys. It's like beefing with children. Whatever. I catch him on like Instagram, but I also like, I want to point this out too. Like, I don't like seek them out to watch the guy. I'm not like sitting down to like watch them.
Right.
It's just
right.
When they come up, I cannot look away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I catch him on Instagram or like I'll watch like the edits that people make. So like the Rizzler kind of seems like he's like the brains of the operation. And there's this sort of like subtext and joke that like Big Justice, who's the kid who's like, I like the chicken bake. He sounds like that. There's like this like joke, running joke that the Rizzler, like that everyone's afraid of the Rizzler.
Okay.
And so like, people, so like when Big Justice makes a mistake, the Rizzler will look at him and people will like paint it like it's a Renaissance painting of him like looking over at him like disapproving.
Now do we think Big Justice is the boy, right? Or am I incorrect?
He's 12. Yes.
Okay.
He's like the original Costco guy. It's
the original Costco guy. Do you think he's cool at school?
Not particularly. I think this changed it for him a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no, but I don't know him before this.
He can't go
to
school anymore.
Why? Because they just
they're too famous.
They got the boom.
They're they're too famous now. Yeah,
it's so probably like that like type of famous where they can't go to school, but like they also like can't go to like a private school. You know what I mean? Like it's just 100%. You know,
like they're not like rolling in cash, I imagine, from this. Yeah. But again, yeah, they're famous enough where it's like kind of like, well, what do we do?
Right. It's like that inconveniently famous. I was looking up their net worth. And whenever I
can't be a lot.
Well, they kept telling me Costco's net worth instead of theirs.
Oh, I see. I see.
Which I find to be quite funny because they.
I'm just going to the Rizzler net worth. Yeah, I mean, it's impossible to know.
I mean,
he's also eight.
I feel like this is like not the thing to type into the internet.
Costco guys net worth. Yeah. Some videos about like how rich are the Costco guys, but like they haven't like, okay, someone estimates them at $50,000 is their net worth.
Okay. Okay.
So like I mean like, first of all, they have, this is like not even been a year about since they have like gone viral, you know what I mean? Yeah,
they've been around for a while. They've been around.
I'll say this. The dad has been trying to get this to fucking happen for years, and well, that's what kind of makes me feel weird about it.
Wasn't he like a former professional wrestler or like semi-professional wrestler? I mean, that's probably his whole thing, creating a brand.
Yes, and then he was like a part of these like dad content creators to like how to like groups of like how to monetize your family kind of situation, which does change it. However, I mean, there's this whole thing where like people are like, oh my gosh, like Big Justice is going to like look back when he's older and be so embarrassed about all this stuff. And I'm like, I actually think that a kid having a really good time with his dad is good, actually. Do you know what I mean? And like, if he's embarrassed about it, if he thinks it's cringy, well, that's what being a kid is.
Well, and what a great story. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, like, when this kid is 45 and like a nobody, do you know what I mean? Not, respectfully, like no one. It's going to be one of those things where like I was the Costco guy. And people are like, "What? No, you were not." He's like, "I was." You know what I mean? It's like yeah.
What if he grew up and became like the CEO of Sam's Club?
See, the thing is, I'm just speaking my truth here. I believe that AJ and Big Justice are not long for the spotlight. I believe that the Rizzler is. And I think
I feel like the Rizzler is something you got to like check your house for when you come home. It's like dark. Like, is the Rizzler here? Come on.
It's like a children's story about the monster to be afraid of. I think the Rizzler is going to outlast AJ and Big Justice. And I believe that like the Rizzler will probably end up being like famous forever. I do not know about AJ and Big Justice. J.
Yeah, I mean, but the Costco chicken bake, have you ever had one?
I have not, but I want one now. I don't know if I do it.
Isn't it just a Hot Pocket?
But it's like giant, and it's like this chicken bake, and that's pretty good.
This might be a me thing, but I always feel shame when I go to a Costco and I like think about going to the food court. It's such a visible, just such a visible thing. Like everyone is checking out, just watching you at that. Yeah,
that is true. You know what I mean? You do get kind of put in a little zoo, don't you? Like a little enclosure.
And like when people are sitting eating, they never quite look happy.
Well, it's not a very like welcoming environment.
You got like, a guy like selling like, you windows down. Like down there.
Yeah, he's
like,
you know, yeah.
Car batteries surrounding you.
It's kind of this like liminal space. Yeah. I will say though, I've seen people take the chicken bake and you like rip the top off it and you slide a hot dog in there.
Oh.
And I could fuck with that.
By the way, we had a brief conversation earlier this year, I guess late last year, about how many hot dogs you consumed in a year.
Yeah.
What's your number at?
So, like, so far, zero.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to hear a shocking statistic?
So, I know how many hot dogs you eat, dude. So, like, let me do the math. Let me look. Let me see if I can guess it.
All right. If you can guess it.
It is currently Monday the 20th.
Yeah. I'm proud of this number, too, by the way.
I'm going to say you are at, so there have been 10 weekdays of the year. I'm going to not count the first, second, and third.
Okay.
10 weekdays in this year. I'm going to say you've had 20 hot dogs.
I've had 20 hot dogs, Peter.
I was telling some friends about this, about how I was like, that's in like when you initially told me your hot dog eating habits, I was like, dude, that's fucking insane. And then the more you were telling me about it, I went from not being judgmental, but I was like, that's crazy. I'm concerned for you, to being like, are you a genius? Like, you're like, dude, I mean, like, for lunch, I'm having like, it's like 250 calories for two of these dogs.
They're in, they're out. You got them. You got these low calorie buns. It's a, you know what, Costco, get on my level. That's all I got to say. Get on my level.
Boom, 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 boom. It's headlines. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Hitbox episode number 228. I'm serious. It was really awkward, Justin. It was so awkward.
I can't imagine.
No one knew what the fuck I was doing. It was so weird.
I imagine just you taking a bite between each boom, and then it's just very quiet, and then...
And that's the thing. It's you know how, like, if you're raised right, when someone does something really embarrassing, you just move on. Like, you don't point it out. I can tell that every single person felt like we have to just go. We just have to move on from this.
Yeah, there's no coming back from it.
So embarrassing.
But good friends, to be honest.
Yes, 100%. They did me such a service, but it was terrible. Yeah. My name is Peter Unspitek. Joining me as always, my wonderful friend, co-host Justin Makovich. How are you doing, Justin?
I have questions for you. Have you partook in a little game called the Squid Games?
I watched season one. Back in the day, I think we talked about it maybe on the show.
Yeah.
I watched season one. I found the ending to be really disappointing. And then I've not watched the second season.
Oh, okay.
And then, or are you talking about the reality show they did? Or are you talking about the Mr. Beast thing?
There's a million
things.
I've watched the Mr. Beast one. Kind of fun, to be honest.
Oh, is it? I've heard like mostly negative things that it just doesn't really work as like a reality show.
I mean, it does. Well, are they the same?
What do you mean?
Is there a reality show and the Mr. Beast, right? They're different.
No. We're talking about the Beast Games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard people say like it doesn't feel like a good like reality contest show.
Oh,
but I don't know. I haven't watched it.
So I don't know like if there's a difference. I watched like the YouTube video that he made. Was there like an actual like reality TV show?
And then there's a third thing. Okay, so there is Squid Games, the TV show, season one that came out.
And that was like a Mr. Beast product or no?
No. The first thing was the Netflix show. Then Mr. Beast did a YouTube video called like Squid Game in Real Life with a bunch of YouTubers, streamers, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've not seen that. I imagine that's probably fun to watch.
Yeah.
Then there is the Netflix show where they did a Squid Game reality show.
Got it. Where you win,
like where you do the things and you win the money. Cause they, I guess, completely missed the fucking point. And then now there is season two of Squid Game out right now. At the same time, Mr. Beast has a game show that's basically just Squid Game airing on Amazon Prime right now.
Got it. Okay, so I've seen the initial video that he did when he recreated all of like the original task. I thought that was a fun piece of content.
I'm sure.
Yeah. The second season though, I gotta say,
yes. Okay.
They do the typical thing, and they kind of hinted at it towards the end when they're trying to like expand the universe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that didn't work for me for that show. But go on.
But it's like it's very similar to. Have you seen read the second Hunger Games book/movie? You know how that one, it's like politics at the beginning and then eventually you're fucking in the game again and then it's actually good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that to a degree. But the first episode was one of the most, it had nothing to do with the actual games. It was one of the most like stressful, but like best episodes of TV I've seen in a while. Really enjoyed it.
Okay. I will take that as a recommendation because I'm interested, but like, the things that I really liked about Squid Game, the first show, was like, I thought all the interpersonal stuff was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, and how he gets to the end with the one guy, like that stuff was awesome and great. And then I thought when it was like trying to be like a bigger thing
but
about like the world, the grandpa and whatever.
What they do again that was really great was they just create a cast of characters and a web of connections that you actually are kind of invested with some of these characters.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You clearly have like your main cast, but they have like three planes of action kind of happening at the same time. Very similar to season one, but they do it again. And I think they like do enough of a twist on the whole series that it is not just replaying season one. And like, I'm going to say a loose spoiler because I think you deserve to know this going in ahead of it. They film season two and three at the same time.
Okay.
So there's very clearly
going to be a third season.
Like it's not finished in this beautiful bow at the end of this season.
I see.
So just being aware of that going in, I think will be helpful. But if you're one of those people who like does that thing left when you're like, all right, there's five challenges in a Squid Game season.
Yeah.
And we are 30 minutes left in
on the final the episode, final you're like, episode, and we've done two of these.
And we've only done, like you're like, all right, I know what's coming up.
It's exactly how you know when someone's going to get medical evac'd or quit on Survivor when you're like, oh, we're at the end of the episode and they're not a tribal.
Yeah, we're not even close. We're not even close. I recommend it. It's just good TV.
Okay.
It's fun.
I liked the first season. I liked it. I thought at the end, like, I thought the twist of it was kind of silly and dumb. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, can I spoil the fucking twist of Squid Game from 2019 or whatever?
You might not like this season.
Oh, for real?
Except they do it much more. They don't like subvert expectations with the audience. We were the ones that were fooled just as much as the characters were in season one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In season two, the audience is not fooled. Just the players are.
Okay, see, that might be more interesting. Because I think that the thing about it is that, like, so it turns out at the end of season one that it's like this grandpa was like pulling the strings the whole time. And like, I think a really good twist, like, it makes a rewatch more interesting because you're like, oh, it's like Invincible season one.
Yeah.
When you know why and everything, it makes a lot of those scenes with Omni-Man very different because you're like, oh, I know what he's actually saying now. Yeah. Versus in Squid Game, you rewatch it and you're like, what the fuck? Like that, like this, like there's nothing in here to indicate any of that. Like, not that you would see it coming, but I think a good twist. Yeah. Like I said, like is recontextualizes the events and whatever.
Peter, if you watch the red light, green light scene from season one, you'll notice that when the computer is analyzing the movement, the old man not highlighted.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. That's mildly interesting. That's interesting enough for a YouTube short. Right, you know what I mean? Like, me to go like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Got it. Sweet. Yeah.
I will take that as a recommendation. I don't know why, but like, it takes a lot for me to watch a TV show, but I am interested in Squid Game specifically, and I don't know why.
Do you know, I am also, it takes me a lot to watch
I like the characters.
I think it's like a good sequel so far. If that makes sense. I think I have been watching much more movies, documentaries, things like that since I've deleted YouTube off of my phone, which is now on the record. Okay. We're almost 20 days into this year. That's 20 hot dogs into the year.
Insane.
I have deleted YouTube off my phone. I'm comfortable saying that is my New Year's resolution. I'm not having that app on my phone all year.
Interesting. I think that's a good resolution. Yeah. Justin, I'm going to give you my resolution, and it's to preview this episode.
What a very short-lived resolution.
Attainable, though. Check it out.
That is true. You can't go.
Watch me do this.
All right, let's see.
Coming up. We got to see the Switch 2. The hardware reveal was this past week. PlayStation cancels more games, and Marvel Snap. Get snapped itself. We're going to talk about those headlines and more, Justin. Before we do, I would like to tell our listeners that they can join our Discord server. The link to that is in the description of this episode. They can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/hitboxpod by becoming a $1 podcast producer or a $3 deluxe podcast producer like Jay Knoll, GKS, and Josh Durham. Every single week, those deluxe podcast producers get an additional 30-minute bonus episode today. We're talking about the fact that rumor has it that GTA 5 might cost $100. I have no idea how credible that is or anything, but it's kind of an interesting talking point about, you know, the price of games and whatever. And I think, you know, we're going to avoid like rehashing the same, like, what is the price of a game conversation that happens every time they increase, you know, video game prices across the board. But I'd be interested to hear what you think about that, Justin. So if you're interested in that conversation, again, patreon.com/hitboxpod. If you can't support us monetarily, that's all good. You can follow us on Twitter at hitboxpod or rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Justin, nothing came out, so we're not going to the Metacritic roundup. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to play the song so that we can talk about the games that we're playing. Is that okay?
Sure. Do you want to talk about any updates we have on our Open Critic draft then?
Yeah.
You can say no.
Open Critic. I said Open Critic over it. Yeah. Yeah, let me pull up. Let me just close out these 8 tabs of Costco Guy's net worth. How are we doing? I've had nothing because none of the games that I have released dates for the most part.
Did you put a bid over the weekend?
I don't know. I'm trying to think about like when this would have gone up. I have picked up 3 games, I think, since we last talked about this. I picked up Psycho Patrol R, which is a game that's coming into early access in March. This is the follow-up to a game called Cruelty Squad. Are you familiar with Cruelty Squad?
No.
It's a bizarre, like, low, like, fi first-person shooter immersive sim that was kind of big in 2020. It's, like, Cruelty Squad. It's bizarre. It's very weird. 100% totally something I would be into. I did not play it. It's like purposefully very, very ugly. You know what I mean by that? Yeah, like it's like low poly stuff. But apparently the writing is very good. And apparently it as an immersive sim is excellent. I mean, like on Steam, let's see here. Overwhelmingly positive based on 17,993 reviews. So it's by Consumer Soft Products. And so, yeah, so this is the follow up to that. So I have to imagine it'll be at least kind of interesting. So I picked up that. I picked up Marvel's Wolverine. I am going to say that game is not coming out this year, like definitively.
I think I saw like footage of like some playable footage of it. And it looks way unready.
Yeah, I'll say this. Like a bunch of people were saying like, oh, fuck, it looks so bad. I'm like, yeah, it's a not finished game, guys.
Right. Like, though I do have to say like the kind of action they're going for kind of looks fun.
Yeah, no, it's the sort of thing where like I look at it and I'm like, yeah, this looks fine.
Yeah,
like this looks great. Like
it looks like kind of
like
a
finished game,
a beat 'em up brawler game. And I really like whenever they like do like the finishers, you can see their finishers, but they're like completely unconnected to the enemy that they're like doing. It's just very choppy, but like at least it gives me an idea for what the gameplay is, and I think it looks like it'll be good.
Yeah, but so it's not coming out, but because of the rule that we have where you can drop games, I think November 1st if we don't have release dates for them or if they're like not confirmed to come out or anything like that. It means that at the very least I have it in case we get surprised and it's like, oh, Wolverine's coming out this year.
Yeah.
I also picked up an unannounced Zelda Ocarina of Time remake.
Oh, let me tell you,
it has
buddy.
It has been longer between right now and the 3DS remake that they did for the launch of the 3DS. The years between right now and then are longer than from when the remake came out on the 3DS and the original game came out.
That's crazy.
Isn't that weird? Time weird?
Would that like 3D version, would that have counted as a game we could have drafted?
In 2013 or whatever?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I believe so.
Enough changes to it. I think
yeah,
this
it's
is
a remake for
this
sure.
This is one of those things that, yeah, they could, I would be okay with either of the options, with it just being like a remaster of the 3DS version or 100%. A complete remake. And I, to be honest, feel like it's less likely they will do a full remake at this point of that game. But like, what an easy way to come up with a really cool Zelda game.
Yeah, it was the sort of thing where like there have been rumors about this for like a year or two. Just like nothing like super concrete, but like rumor enough. And I was thinking about it and I was like, because people are saying like, oh, now they're finally going to port Wind Waker and whatever. And I was like, probably not. Like, I guess I don't know. But like, to me, it seems like you would want to say like the Switch 2 can play one of the best games ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like come buy this. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to happen. It's just like one of those things where I was like, yeah, if this happened, I think I don't see. It's not impossible that this would happen. And also, again, for the rule of just like we can drop this in November.
For
like,
no penalty. Can you imagine that? Imagine what that game could be if they kind of mix a little bit of what we got with, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, like with that Hyrule area. It doesn't have to be exactly like it, but it has like the makings of being something that could be like an excellent remake, not just a remaster, but like actually remaking it to something new, same plot, same kind of dungeon, same everything, but like with 2025 gameplay mechanics.
Are you familiar with the idea of like ins and outs?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
This is like a thing that was coming up in the new year where it's like, people would write a list of things that are in this year and out now. So it would be like, in, Sonic is cool. Out. I don't know, like hating on this, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my opinion, in, video game reimaginings.
Yeah.
Out, video game remakes. I'm tired of remakes.
Well,
give me, if you're going to remake a game, reimagine it, I think is the way to go. You know, like do something interesting with it instead of just going, trying to be as close and as faithful as possible.
I do have to say the one agreement with that, disagreement with what you said, is Nintendo, because Nintendo's just about churning over that shit again. But
yeah, but like exactly what you're saying though. Like, yeah, to play Ocarina of Time again would be cool, but like I've played it a bunch. Yeah. I've played a lot. You know what I mean? But if they were said like, we're doing Ocarina of Time, but with a twist. Like,
Wait, I just want to go back because I understand that this is the case. Thousand Year Door was something that people could pick up last year, right?
That was technically here's the problem. It was, because I picked it up. It was on my team.
Yeah.
100% that was just what I would classify as a remaster.
Right. It is. I mean, yeah, they remade the assets, correct? Like everything was new, correct? But like the game itself was pretty much a shot for shot. With a few different twists to it, but.
So someone posts on Reddit under Paper Mario subreddit. So is Thousand Year Door a remake or remaster? At first, everyone was saying it was a remake. Now people are saying it's a remaster. Which one is it? Top comment on here is, the debate between what's a remake and remaster is mostly up to interpretation from what I've seen. A lot of times the definition changes and then comes exceptions. And then this repeats. People will likely form a more solid opinion of the game. Comes out when it looks like, but so I think based on what Nintendo said, it was a remake, but I think technically I would classify it as a remaster.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this, right? About like, I think even on the Fantasy Critic thing, it says like Demon's Souls remake would be allowed under remakes, even though that is literally explicitly it is a remaster, but Sony calls it a remake. You know what I mean? Versus like Last of Us Part One, that is an explicitly a remake. However, most people view it as a remaster. You know, it's just one of those like definition things.
You know what? I think one of my favorite things ever to like remind myself comes from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Where everything is made up and the points don't matter. Because end of the day, Peter. Everything on Fantasy Critic is made up and the points truly do not matter.
I'm a video I'm working on for work. I talk about it's Marvel Rivals. And I say like all the names of the levels are like super verbose and long and just like full of like all these like made up comic book words. And then I cut to Thor and Endgame. And I'm like, all words are made up.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's what's on my team, Justin. What have you picked up? Anything?
So the games I picked up since our initial draft, it hasn't been too crazy. I've been pretty low engagement at this point because it's so early.
There's no reason to fill this thing up.
I know. And I have a secret game I'm waiting to try to get that's not announced yet, but it's also not available on Fantasy Critic. So
I'll keep a secret.
But the two I did were Hyper Light Breaker and Sword of the Sea. Because I thought they would be pretty interesting. And I forget did we talk about Sword of the Sea already? That was the people who made the Pathless. It's their next game.
Oh, yeah, we did.
That's coming out. Yeah, so.
It's a big, what is it called? The giant?
Giant Squid. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, ironic that we talked about Giant Squid again today after we talked about the Squid Games. Not related.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
Have the impressions that people have been making about Hyper Light Breaker made you a little nervous at all?
Yes and no. I mean, I figure it's okay because it's still in early access. Now it will be problematic. Like they haven't scored them yet. It's still in early access. We'll kind of see. And I have time to drop it if I need to, I think.
Can you still drop it? Now that the game is out?
in early access. Let me see. Let's do it right now. I'm going to see. Drop a game. I'm going to drop. Yes,
is it, but is it just going to drop? Is it? You can? Okay.
Yeah. But there'll probably be something that happens at the end of the week that I'm like, I probably can't, but.
Sure. Sure. It's interesting. I'm going to be, me and Christian are going to take a look at that game tomorrow. I'm going to be curious to see what he thinks. Cause he said, he's like, I have a lot of thoughts about this game. It's like, Oh
damn. Okay.
Interesting.
All right.
Yeah, but, yeah, so there you go. That's the fantasy update. Justin, can I update you about the games I've been playing? I played a lot this week.
Oh, yeah, please update me.
I powered through. You were extremely generous, and you gave me one additional month of Xbox Game Pass, and I felt like I would be doing you a disservice if I did not finish Indiana Jones in that time. I finished the game. I think I really don't like this game. I think... The problem is I see a good game buried under like a mountain of like garbage and trash that you have to like sift through to find, you know what I mean? And so I'm working on a little project about that game specifically. And so I ended up reading like a lot of reviews for it. And, something I wrote, let me see if I can find it. Cause I want to say it properly. A lot of the reviews were kind of interesting in that they were very, like, very, you know, high scores. But I felt like a lot of the things that, like, were bothering me just weren't mentioned. And I would say it's like things that, you know, it's okay if those things don't bother you, but I would say, like, are worth mentioning. You know what I mean? Like, how I think the navigating through the menus in that game is really clunky. And, like, I think, like, the user experience of that game is very clunky.
The amount of buttons they expect you to have.
Yes, and that you're like constantly dropping stuff.
Or reloading your gun. How do you do that? I still don't know. I beat the game.
Right. I think so. Like, I believe you hold down the right trigger, but you don't hold it for too long. Because if you hold it for too long, you just open the gun up and you look at the gun.
And too long is an arbitrary thing, right?
Yes. let's see. I wrote like. This game gets some things right. Its characterization, which I find to be really strong, but that's not enough for me. Not when the game wants to be Dishonored, I guess. The way that a lot of the reviews for this game sound, you'd think it was a more linear experience that put more of its stock into being a character and performance-driven outing, since so many of the core systems of the game go unremarked on. But it's actually a pretty complex title, just none of it works together. Does that make sense? Where, like, the way people talk about it, you'd think that it was, like, an Uncharted kind of thing, where, like, those games are simple. You know what I mean? Or, like, The Last of Us is, like, simple in its like systems and stuff like that. That's not bad. It's just like really straightforward because the emphasis on those games is in the story and the spectacle. And like, that's the way that I feel like a lot of people are talking about this game. But it's not that simple. Like it's got like some really like complicated systems. It's just that they feel like awkward to me. And like, it doesn't really come together.
I think
I like the writing. I like the characters, but
I think ultimately one of the things that was the best thing for me when playing that game, I think if I initially started playing that game without us doing the Let's Play that we did for our bonus show, if you want to see it, you should become
Patreon.com/shitboxbot.
Thank you. When you were playing it, you were talking about like the first time you were like stealthing through it. And then the second time you just literally took your gun out and just started shooting everything.
Yeah. And then oh, this is way better.
Right. And then you texted me that the stealth sucks in this game. And I was like, I don't think I use stealth at all, like in the game, to be honest.
how would you get through, like, I'm thinking about specifically, you talked about this, I think, in our Game of the Year episode last week, where you were talking about like there's this moment where you need a bunch of gold to get, which, by the way, I remember how I was like, oh, I think the currency resets when you switch places.
It doesn't.
I think I had a bug or something, like, which I would not be surprised about because that's not this game is. In switching from Cairo and the Vatican to Giza, but there's that section where you have to like go steal the gold. You know what I mean? And like, I was like trying to stealth through this whole section, but it's like this huge camp, and like I would just get killed. And then the checkpoint system is pretty bad too, where I would like get set back like 5 minutes, and the checkpoint happened like a 35 second walk to where I needed to be. So it was just like, oh my gosh, I have to redo all of this. Yeah.
So a lot of it was like it was like a trial and error thing. Don't get me wrong. But I think that's kind of like why I liked it, because it was like a loose like puzzle box sandbox that you got to play through. And I mean loose in the loosest of sense. But like it would basically be like, all right, I got a gun here. I got four enemies in my way. Which enemies do I try to run around? Which enemies do I try to shoot and distract? And I never did like the creep around and throw something to like make the move and stuff like that. It was basically like, all right, I'm running. And there was, of course, the times that I had the whole encampment on me, and that'd be like hiding under like some like floors trying to make their aggression go off. They'd leave, and then I'd come back, and then I'd punch them, and then I'd hide again and do that kind of stuff. But for me, again, the reason I like that is because it just became like I can solve it how I want, and I'm pretty sure I wasn't doing it the right way, but it made me feel big brain smart when I was doing that. But I would be lying if I told you there weren't times where I did that shit and all of a sudden it'd be like 8 minutes earlier and I was at the beginning of the camp again.
And
I was
like,
shit, I got to do this again. Or the time when I would spend, I don't know, like an hour learning how to clear out a camp, thinking it was what I had to do for the objective. And then realizing that I just had to literally go like next to the camp and there was a way to do the thing I needed to do.
It's at the end. You go into this, like, this is like right before you see like the giant snake and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You go, like, there's this objective, like you're going to like lift a manhole cover or something like that and go like underground.
Yeah.
And I thought you had to go through this big camp of Nazis that's like literally right next door.
Yeah.
And nope.
That's you don't have the to go, one. Like, no. But
oh, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah. But I don't know. I still had fun clearing out the camp and stuff like that.
Sure.
The thing I didn't like is that if you took too long or went too far, they would respawn.
They respawn.
Without like prejudice or whatever. But again, that tells me it's not about clearing a camp out and then running around capturing everything. It's just about moving forward quickly and trying to stay ahead of the AI for the most part.
I'll tell you this.
I did have a death corner in that map too. It was a fun little, and basically what I'd have to do was there was this little part by a river and I would jump over the wall, like pick off one or two people, run back to the river. Yeah. They couldn't get through the wall. Then they'd get disinterested, walk away. I'd jump back over the thing, shoot them with whatever the people who I killed dropped. Then I'd do the same thing. And I just repeated that four or five times. So I had like, you know, maybe like 15
it's a bunch of bodies.
Yeah. Which I love that shit.
I'll tell you this, if you are like, oh man, like I want to get all these guys off me. If you're wearing the Indiana Jones outfit, there's a power up that you get like right at the beginning of the game where if you get killed, you can pick up your hat and like revive with one health basically. And all the enemy, you go back discreet, all the enemies can't find you.
Yeah.
It's like, I write about this in the thing I'm working on where it's like, I thought this was a bug because I was like, oh shit, like that's weird that they would not be able to detect me. Cause I'm standing right here and they're all looking at me. And then it happened again. I was like, oh no, that's exactly how this is intended.
I did like that. It was like a second chance thing because there's so many times when you're playing like a stealth game like that and you fuck up and you're like, you're really fucked up. And in that game specifically, if you've been fucked up for like, if you fucked up and you were like doing it for like 10, 15 minutes in it, you'd have to restart it again versus, I have a second chance. I made a mistake. I accidentally got caught. Now I can just hide. And then eventually you get some upgrades to like make the recharge time even less for that. So it's like basically every time you die, you can just kind of bring it back and stuff like that. Again, the game to me is not a perfect game. It is the reason it was my number two favorite game of the year is because it was a game that just screamed me. More so than a lot of the games this year. But I wouldn't necessarily recommend a lot of people play this. I find it so funny that when we were at our little murder mystery party, that one guy in the Star Wars shirt was playing it.
I know what you're talking about.
Like, because I'm just picturing like, does this guy have the patience to play this game? This guy.
That's
who,
what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
I felt like I was like trudging through this. And also, can I say too, like the parts that I like the most are like the more linear stuff. So like when you're like in the tombs and stuff, like that's all great. Or like there's that section where you go to the boat, you know what I'm talking about, in Nepal or wherever it is. Like in my opinion, that stuff's all great because it's just like, it's making good on the stuff that I like most about Indiana Jones, which is like the characters and like the archaeology stuff of it. And then like in those sections too, like the combat is really basic, but that's fine because it's just kind of like set piece from place to place. And then I was like, wow, this is exactly like Uncharted. And I kind of like this. And I was like, I remember I thought that I was like excited about the idea of like, oh, they're saying that it's not just Uncharted. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. cool, yeah, like not everything needs to be that. And then I'm playing this game and I'm like, you should have just made Uncharted. like I appreciate the interest in not wanting to do just the generic thing, like the most obvious way of doing it. But I was like, after playing this, I'm kind of like, that would have been a safer and I think a more successful game, in my opinion, than, you know, I'm happy for them to take swings. That's great. But unfortunately, it means that I just didn't, those swings did not connect for me, like really at all.
I honestly believe this. I think this is one of those games that would be immaculate with a sequel.
Oh, yeah. And I like, I even think, too, like, I know nothing about the development of this game, so I cannot speak to that. If the, to me, this game feels like, okay, all these systems are at like 60%. To my understanding, like 2 months more of development about like being able to like iron these things out would make this game fucking amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's what the sequel would do. You just have a different story around it, everything like that. What'd you think of the actual story? I know you liked it, but.
I like the writing. The story is bland and uninteresting.
Mm-hmm.
Geo at Digital Trends wrote in his review, it's basically just the story of a Yoshi game. Go collect the things, you know, and like, that's not a criticism necessarily. It just like, that's not bad. That's what these movies are even. But like, it does mean that it's like not particularly interesting, mm-hmm. like the overarching story. The writing is the stuff that I like, I think. And the performances, too. You know, everyone's talking about Troy Baker is really good as Indiana Jones. He's great. I like the girl, Gina. She's awesome. And I think that her performance elevates what is an underwritten character because she kind of doesn't really have much about her. She's like a journalist. Great. She wants her sister back. That's cool. But other than that, there's nothing really to her, mm-hmm. but I think her performance, and the way that her chemistry with, Troy Baker is really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the bad guy. I think like he's very fun and hammy in a way that's delightful. I think the writing is good. I think the overall story is whatever. I thought the ending of it, the final sort of like what it actually is all about was, really dumb. not as dumb as Aliens, not as dumb as time travel, but certainly it felt a little out of nowhere. Do you know what I mean? Can we talk spoilers about this? Is this okay?
Sure.
Spoilers for Indiana Jones, the Great Circle. Yeah. So it ends, they go to Iraq and they're underground and you see a big establishing shot of like what the Nazis are digging up there. And Gina goes, oh, is that? And then Indiana Jones goes, Noah's Ark. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. There's nothing in this game that alluded to that being what they were looking for. First of all, second of all, the way Gina, they all just like, they knew what it was. It was mm-hmm. like, I'm glad you guys are saying this because I did not fucking pick up on that at all.
It reminded me a little bit. Was that Uncharted 4? The one that ends, you find like that pirate ship underground and then you have that like fight in the fiery ship with.
Yes, with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, yeah. It had very much vibes of that at the end, how it kind of just changes near the end of it.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I guess this is what it's about. Yeah. And you're like, was it about this the whole time?
All right.
Like,
all right,
yeah. But yeah, the story was fine, but the writing is the stuff that I liked. And I like the reason why I think I like those moments in the like ancient ruins and stuff so much is because you're doing these puzzles and the puzzles are serviceable. They're fine. You know what I mean? But it's those moments that you get to really like have the characters talk and interact,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the stuff that I think is really, really strong about this game.
Did you like the giant snake?
Not really. No. that was a set piece that I was like, I see what this was going for, but it's okay.
It had to be.
Did
snakes,
you like the giant snake?
I thought it like broke up the gameplay in a way that I thought was necessary.
It's like, fine. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And just in a game like that, you don't really expect to have any kind of like fantastical boss kind of setup. And I felt like they made it. It changed it up where it needed to change it up.
I liked the giant snake more than I liked the giant fights. The fights with the giants, the blind one, when you were like, oh, the guy who can't see, and I was like, what's that? And then I got to that part and I was like, oh, this is really bad.
Yeah. I didn't even realize. I don't think I played that fight the right way.
Yeah. Well, so you're not supposed to step on the coins on the ground to alert him.
I think I did.
But you do.
Yeah.
And also, like, when you attack him, he gets alerted anyway because you're hitting him with a hammer.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
because I also was like, am I doing this wrong? Because it was like, this is taking a really long time. I was like, nope, this is exactly what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say a Yeah, a sequel to this I would be interested in, because hopefully they find the parts of this that were really good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But currently this was a miss for me. I'll tell you what's not a miss, though. Alan Wake 2.
Oh, you finished that DLC?
So I did the second part of the Night Springs DLC. It stars Jesse Faden from Control. Honestly, kind of a letdown. There's not much there to it. It's just you just play as her for like a little bit. That's fine, though. It's still Alan Wake 2, and I still really like Alan Wake 2. I forgot how delightful. Didn't forget, but that's the musical sequence is fucking delightful. that's still, yeah, they're like pointing, like suggesting, like, we're this way.
Yeah. I was still lost as fuck in that one part, though. There's just like one weird part. You have like things like pop
like
up
following from, like, the neon signs.
Yeah. That one is a little rough, but
yeah. But still, I still think that's a great game. And it's fun too. It's funny, like talking about like knowing what twists are, like understanding what sort of happens with specifically like the cult stuff. I think is really interesting and a lot of fun, because you just sort of walk away like replaying it. I'm like, oh, I know why they were doing this. You know, I'm like, oh, this makes sense.
You might have disagreed with me on this fact, but I think one of the things I like about it is that I feel like if either of the two campaigns were on their own, the gameplay would have gotten a little stale. But I do like the back and forth between them, because they do play so differently from each other. And I think they kind of like make the game way more interesting, and I like how you have the ability to choose when to switch at a certain point, which I think makes the gameplay what would have been just okay, but I think that makes it like elevates it to this next level.
100%, because I prefer the story stuff in Sagas,
yeah,
like sort of half, and but I prefer the gameplay of the Alan Wake, like rewriting the scenes and stuff, and so it's like that nice balance of like, oh yeah, like you can, you know, the one section is like more of the story section for me, and then the other section is more the game section. I 100% agree with you. And it's also interesting too, like this is a game that I like, similar to the first one to a lesser degree, but like in a similar way, like I like this game sort of despite its flaws.
Uh-huh.
Like the combat is kind of like, I almost kind of wish like you didn't have to do the combat.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, cause it felt like they couldn't figure out how to do the flashlight stuff. Because like in the first one, it's a little like, it's fitting for the time, but it's very Xbox 360. And then like, okay, so we don't want to do that again, but it still feels like a little like they didn't really know what to do with the combat. But it's a good game.
It's a good game. Good game.
Can I also say I've been playing Stardew Valley multiplayer with Elena.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know if you're gonna like this, but you might. And we are fucking addicted to Stardew Valley. This is and to the point where like we're sending each other like wikis and stuff in our like when we're at work being like, hey, I read up on, if you look in the trash and there's an NPC near you, that actually lowers your friendship level with them. It's like, oh, interesting, good to know.
Wow. Just like in real life.
Just like in real life.
I'm gonna actually start doing that like towards my enemies.
Like rifling through.
Yeah. They'll be talking to me and I'm just going, I'll like pretend to be eating it, except I'll probably actually eat it because, you know, I'll be hungry.
No, I get it. I get it. Because you haven't had your hot dogs today.
No. That'll be before hot dog.
In the morning. Yes. Pre-hot dog.
Yeah.
But no, it's good. That's a fucking good game, dude. The only problem is the split screen multiplayer on Switch has a tendency to crash if you are in the mines, which is really frustrating because it's like it like crashes for us like once an hour if I'm going to go in the mines. Because she doesn't really want to go down there because it's just not really fun for her. And so I think it's because it's loading like the whole village and the mines at the same time, you know?
You said something that worried me here. Does it have to be split screen?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be, but we're doing it that way because it's just fun.
Okay, so we could theoretically play it on two Switches, two different Stardews online?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, good. I hope so, because if there's a thing for me to have to play a game on a couch, the likelihood of me playing it the odds are very low. And on top of that, I played about half of Indiana Jones and the Great Circle on my backbone. So
did you really? Oh, yeah. That sounds even worse. Not like you just, yeah. That sounds rough. But yeah, no, Stardew Valley, like here's an interesting thing I learned, you know, what, almost 10 years after that game came out. That's a really good fucking game. Like, it's really good. And I don't have much else to say other than just, I like it a lot.
Hell yeah.
Have you been playing Metaphor?
Yeah, I'm like 45 hours in to the game.
Okay.
I've hit my stride in like how you level up and like what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to tell you, I'm doing something that is not traditional, but I think it's made the game infinitely more fun for me. And that is using auto battles for boss fights.
Oh, like your teammates?
No, everything. They have like an option to like auto battle, and you can like set your preference for like how you want your people to attack, and that includes your main character. So,
oh, interesting.
When it comes to a boss, I'm just like all out fucking attack, because I don't know if you have this problem, probably not because you're better at me than games, but like I hoard items, like all of them.
I used to.
Yeah.
And then, do you know, there's a streamer named Carcinogen. He has like the most viewed Summer Games Done Quick video for Resident Evil 7. It's phenomenal. And I watched a stream of his once. Very unlike me. I don't watch a lot of streams, but he was playing Alien Isolation, and he mentioned something about like items. And he's like, you will always have more items, so just use them.
Yeah.
And then, so that got me into using consumables more, because I was like, oh yeah, I guess that's true. But
so,
go on.
So it like, I think one of the things about that game, there's just so many fucking choices to make, and doing the auto battle kind of makes my choices less. And it also kind of like reminds me how to play the game, like with the front and back stuff. Cause let me tell you what I haven't really doing in that game when I play on my own, worrying about who's in the front or the back when I'm like,
oh my gosh,
so
I totally
like
forgot that's the system.
Right.
Yeah. I like that though.
So I also like it because some of these boss battles can take a fucking long time, and there's no good way to back out of that boss battle and like reset your party. You can restart the battle with a click of a button, which is great, but you cannot like go back before it without like restarting your PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you get in these boss battles that are just like attrition at a certain point. It's just like, I'm going to survive. I'm going to outlast you. But I like it because I feel like it just is making me, for these harder fights, these like bigger fights that would take a long time, it's just kind of streamlining the process for me. And I kind of feel like by the time I get to that part of the battle, I'm like, all right, I've set up my team. I have the right stuff set up, and then watch the magic happen as I just destroy this human baby.
See, that's cool though. To say like, okay, like it's not that you don't want to engage with those systems, but it's more like you engage with them in a different way by making sure that you're set up so that your characters do well.
Yeah. And of course,
that's cool.
There's like certain, they still make it hard to do that at some points. Like there was one like contract that you had to do that I had to kill two worms in the same turn, and the auto battle kept just like highlighting one person and just destroying that one worm. And I'm like, bro, you gotta, there's two, do two.
Yeah.
So I kind of like got it up to a certain point. Then I stopped the auto battle, finished it up, did the tactic and strategies I want. I mean, it's an imperfect system, but I think it's perfect enough that I've been enjoying some of the tougher battles with it. And I really think I have nailed the grind that I need to get in that game to a little bit, where currently I'm in a dungeon just grinding an enemy that gives me like 1,000 experience. So I've been grinding that for a little bit. But that story is like one of our complaints, and I think it was a joint complaint about Final Fantasy VII, was pacing.
Yeah.
I think most JRPGs have pacing problems.
I would agree. And
I feel like this one is no different, because there is like sometimes a 3-4 hour stretch where you're doing nothing but combat. And then there's immediately after a 3-4 hour stretch when you're doing nothing but story.
Yeah.
It happens pretty
frequently.
Where
are you in the story?
I'm to the point where I am getting on Luis's airship thing.
Eesh.
Yeah. Did you beat that part already? I'm assuming you did, because I think you got like past that.
Yeah, I got to the next dungeon.
Yeah.
That is a thing that ends cool, but like doing it is like, oh gosh. And they like really hype up like, oh, we got to be really prepared. Like, we don't want to fuck this up. And then you go and you're like, oh, this was like very easy.
Yeah.
Like, well, oh, it was very easy and short.
And like, they give you like 20 days to do it too. So I'm just using that to kind of clear up my side quests and like kind of grind up, because I think I still am a little over leveled at this point, but I don't care. Makes my job easier.
Yeah. Now the ending of that is a good scene. And like, yeah, but Yeah, I'm glad that you're liking it. Do you?
Yeah, it's great.
Want to talk about the news?
Sure.
The big thing this week.
Oh, just a side note. I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, because it's not connected, is it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. What if I click on this and then output... There we go. Thanks. Did you hear it now?
No.
Well, it recorded.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as it recorded, that's all I can ask for.
Oh, you know what it is? It's because it wasn't connected through. Remember how when we started the call, it was like, it didn't matter. Just in the Switch too.
Oh,
I saw the hardware for this thing in what felt like a passive aggressive YouTube video. it's like a 2 minute just like a hardware intro for the Switch 2 saying like, hey, the Switch 2 is we're gonna have more information on this thing April 2nd of this year. The Switch 2, bigger screen, bigger Joy-Cons. People are saying that, hey, there's speculation based on, I think, some patents or something, that you're going to be able to use the Joy-Cons vertically like computer mouses, which sounds kind of interesting. If that is true, it will be used for one game and one game only and then forgotten about for the rest of this thing's
life
cycle.
Mario Paint?
Sure. Chicory Port, perhaps.
Have you ever played Mario Paint before?
It's like an old one, right?
Oh, man. It's a Super Nintendo game, and I have the Super Nintendo mouse and mouse pad for it. And okay, one of the highlights of that game, because obviously they like let you do art and stuff like that, but they also have a full music studio involved with it where you can make some cool music to it. But they also have this game called it's like a bug game where you have like a fly swatter and you have to hit progressively more aggressive bugs and then hit their queen and kill their queen.
That's kind of interesting.
It's fun. It's one of my favorite like childhood games.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So the Switch 2 hardware is here. I mean, like, we didn't learn anything really about what is going on under the hood. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like here's the thing. We talked about this a little bit last week. I don't think the performance of the Switch 2 matters. It doesn't. It's what games are going to be on there. You know what I mean? The performance of the PS5 Pro matters. And it matters to people a lot. So when they did that, you know, reveal, if they just showed off what it looked like, I think that would not be satisfactory. It'd be like, well, what justifies this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas the Switch 2, like, I think we got confirmation for its name called the Switch 2, which is silly. I want to circle around and talk about that in a second here. There's a Switch 2 name reveal. They showed off that the Joy-Cons look a little different. I have no idea if it means that it's going to improve any of the drift issues or anything. I'm going to imagine it doesn't. And then the only other thing is it's got a USB-C port on the top and the bottom now, which hopefully means that you can charge it through the top.
Yeah, I mean, that would be what we need.
Yeah, it's astounding that you can only charge a Switch on the bottom, so it just means that you can't play it if you want to charge it.
Now, the PlayStation Portal does the same thing, except the way it works is there's basically like a little like part that comes down that you basically... How do I explain this well? It's not on the very bottom of the system. There's like a little like ledge that it's about 3/4 of the way up the back that you put it in. So you still can charge it without like bending your cord.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a video here. You're like that makes sense. And I think that's a lot more comfortable at the very least than directly on the bottom of
right.
the other
and
thing.
Then if you're one of the people who likes to play Switch or a portable laying down in bed, you just can't if you're charging
it's
it.
It's what it's made for.
Yeah.
It's what it's made
the
to
literal
be
point.
Bed.
Yeah.
Just
like, my like fingers are getting numb and falling asleep
from like shelving it with your thumbs like that. Yeah. I'll say this, the hardware showcase did not it did not help the anxiety of like, is this thing gonna feel better in my hands? Like, oh, it's gonna be bigger.
Yeah,
then you're also just looking at the flat Joy-Cons, like, oh no.
Yeah, I think the Joy-Cons being flat could potentially be problematic for this thing feeling comfortable in your hands. And for me, the most obvious thing is those joysticks are still nubs. They do not look more comfortable. They do not look better they look like the same thing with a little color ring under them. So I'm a little worried about that thing. But at the same time, I don't care. I'll still play it. I mean, people were joking that it looks much more like the Wii U joypad or than a Switch. And that thing felt pretty good. But that thing also did have like better grips on it than the
because it was thicker. Joy-Cons. It was like made to be held.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I wish that we got like again, like the specs of it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love like to know, like, is that an LCD screen or is that a OLED screen?
Mm-hmm.
And they showed the original Switch as a comparison to show like the, you know, the bezel change and whatever. But also I'm kind of like. But the OLED is like a nicer screen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how does that compare? Because I don't know, like
I can imagine going back to the old, like playing a non OLED Switch after playing the OLED Switch. Like I'm used to that at this point.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to be playing something that's bigger, but less than I would probably notice that significantly more than had I not had an OLED.
Yeah. I wonder too how it feels. So the other big like difference is instead of like slotting the Switch Joy-Cons into the side of the thing, it's like magnetic. And so like, it's held into place that way. I mean, I'm going to imagine that the magnets are strong enough that it is a comfortable thing to hold and not have to like be actively thinking about it. You know what I mean? But I think about like, have you ever played the Switch laying down sideways? And if you like let go of it to like scratch your head or like take a sip of water or something, it just sticks in there because they're like locked the fuck in.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about like, are the magnets strong enough to be able to hold this thing for something like that? You know what I mean? I'm sure, like, well, I'm sure, but also
the other thing is, if you've seen in the commercial, like there is a male output on the thing. And that to me feels like is going to get ruined, bent, broken, destroyed way just, like, too easily. If the thing is a little bit loose when you're trying to make those connections. And that is, I think that's a concerning thing as well. Because the great thing about the Switch is that everything is so compact. There's nothing that really like hangs out of it that could break, could scratch, could do anything like that. But this one looks like it just has a lot more potential tech issues to it.
Yes. I mean, you know, obviously it's time to wait to see like what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we will see. But I think that seeing this gave me more questions and a few more concerns than I thought I was going to have with something like this. But again, I think the Switch is a tight package. It is well designed. And so it would be surprising to me if they learned none of the lessons from that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like a lot of me, I do have the hope of like, I think it's going to be fine, but I'm also like, well, but also it could also not be. So who knows?
I mean, if it's not fine, like that would be, I think, the biggest shock of 2025. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I just watched a fucking neo-Nazi do a Heil Hitler on television.
I know.
Inauguration day.
And like,
it wasn't on television. It was on fucking video platforms, but
also be
that
honest,
was surprising to me.
I mean, that's like surprising in
on
the
day
fact
one
that I thought like one, that wouldn't happen. No. But like, am I surprised that it happened? You know what I mean?
No, I'm surprised that it happened on day fucking. Yeah. This is like a 2 years down the line sort of thing.
Yeah, you gotta like ease in. You can't just like day one, guys.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, jeez. Anyway, that would be all that to say. Yes, I would also be surprised. Maybe not my most big surprise, but. Yes. The other thing is they were showing off a new Mario Kart game.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. A lot of people saying that it looks like what, like 25 players or something like that. So hopefully, you know, there's, you know, some good improvements to the internet capabilities of this thing. But yeah, I mean, do you have any interest in like a new Mario Kart?
Yeah, always. Mario Kart's like one of those things I wish I just played more of, but at the same time, I just don't. But I think this new Mario Kart, new levels, new whatever, that's awesome. I am a little, I heard a couple of interesting rumors that they were going to do like a, it looked like they were doing potentially like a Forza, like semi-open world thing.
Oh, interesting.
I want, like, have you ever played Diddy Kong Racing? I know it's a Rare game, not a Nintendo game.
No.
But basically, the tracks were separated in this hub world, like you would see in like a 3D platformer kind of thing. So you'd have to like basically drive your cart around this island to get to your next places, which is kind of fun, kind of interesting. They could like hide more secrets in there. But also at the same time, it like took twice as long to get to the actual races that you wanted to get to. And it was sometimes a little bit annoying, but I don't know. I trust Nintendo. If they were going to do that with a Mario Kart thing, I'm sure they would do it and it would be fun and awesome because, I mean, how can you fuck a Mario Kart?
I'm trying to think. I mean, they've been on a winning streak with Mario Kart specifically for the past 15 years.
Right.
So yeah,
I would say from like Super Nintendo on, like Mario Kart's immaculate.
Sorry. I guess I mean like Mario Kart 8 and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has just been like peak that game, you know.
Were you a Double Dash fan? I forget.
I love
Double Dash. I love the added strategy of like the two characters in your cart just added a lot to that game.
Yeah. And it was also great as playing that game with siblings because it was like I would either play with my older brother, my younger sibling, and we'd like just be on a cart together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which was awesome. But yeah, I agree. And I think like, hey, like if this game comes out as a launch game for the Switch, which I have to imagine it will be because they're showing it off in this, you know, like that is a big win for Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough? Is that enough? So we, you know, we talk about like the Switch launch lineup and it had as exclusives, Snipperclippers, ARMS and Breath of the Wild. Is the Switch 2, if it has, let's say it has Mario Kart 9 or whatever they would call it, and then two kind of less exciting games, is that enough for you?
Yeah, simply because it's backwards compatible. So at the very least, like your older games on a new thing. And I think that's what really like survive, like makes new console generations palatable recently. Like, yeah, PlayStation 5, not that much came out for that you would like circle and be like, amazing launch, but you can still play your old games on it and have that new system kind of feel to it. And I think Nintendo's good about making sure that they'll have at least three newish things coming out right away. And even if it's not that first launch window, by the end of the year, I'm sure they'll have three AAA games to play, or AAA Nintendo games to play on there. So I think it's actually almost smart starting with a Mario Kart and then kind of like adding Pokemon Legends on there and whatever.
Oh, yeah, that'll be this year, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it better be because I drafted that shit.
No, 100% that'll be out this year. I saw a comparison of people talking about like, damn, we really do need that Switch 2 hardware upgrade. And it's like Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. And it's like people just ratioing them like, this is fucking Xenoblade 3. This is like these games, this thing has the ability to look good, you know, just they choose not to for whatever reason.
I wonder if you can get your save states transferred over. You would assume, I mean, you could do it for other Switches. Like,
I was going to say, if it's anything like doing it from the base one to the OLED, it's a huge fucking pain in the ass.
It's doable, but
it's doable. It's certainly possible. Every single time I open a game, so like Stardew Valley, for example, I did not bring my save file over because we were just doing a new thing. And every single time I open it, my Switch is like, are you sure there's save inconsistency? I'm like, it's fine. I don't care. It's gone. You know, Justin, according to one Jason Schreier, Sony has canceled two of its live service games quietly. Let me read you this here. Again, this is from Jason Schreier in an article from Bloomberg titled Sony Cancels Two More PlayStation Projects in Broader Retreat. The games at Oregon-based Ben Studio and Texas-based Blue Point Games were both live service projects designed to draw reoccurring revenue from players. A spokesperson confirmed the cancellations in a statement. The spokesperson said the two games were canceled following a recent review and that PlayStation will continue making both online and single-player games. Neither studio will be shuttered. Ben and Blue Point are highly accomplished teams who are valued members of the PlayStation Studios family. We are working closely with each studio to determine what are the next projects. I'll say like, I never like when spokespeople say stuff like, you know, Bend and Blue Point are highly accomplished teams and who are valued members of the PlayStation Studios family, like off the heels of, you know, Firewalk being closed and like all these other studios being closed. You know what I mean? Like I understand that's what they have to say. That's like the corporate speak of it all, but it kind of like sucks. Cause it's just like, so were those studios that got closed not valued members. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the games, by the way, was according to Jason Schreier, but unconfirmed, was a live service God of War style game. No fucking clue what that would mean. But
I mean, Schreier tweeted basically that I can report it was a God of War game, which if he says that, I trust him.
No, I agree. I'm saying, okay. Like, what is that?
Well,
what is the live service God of War game?
It's also disappointing to me that that's what Bluepoint was working on.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like why have these great studios working on these stupid live service games?
I was hoping they'd be working on either something new or doing that Bloodborne that we wanted, that we all want. Not we. I mean, I'd probably play it again.
I played it. If they did a remake or a remaster or whatever. I'll say Shuhei Yoshida talked about this. I'll find it. He has a different comment, but let me see if I can't find him talking about Bloodborne. Continue.
I do think I would be interested in a God of War kind of live service game to a certain degree. Now, did you ever play that like roguelike God of War Ragnarok expansion?
I
didn't either. Like, I think that's as much as I would have needed or wanted with that. So anything else that would have been more of a live service, I don't know if that would necessarily fit into the God of War thing, unless they were going to go for, like, a hero. Can you imagine if they're going for a hero shooter?
That's what I'm saying.
God of War? Like, what would it have been, and, like, why would they do
it? I can imagine the worst versions of this game.
Yeah.
I can imagine just a terrible version of this. And, of course, that they probably wouldn't do that, but also, like, they could.
Yeah, right.
You know? Like, it's possible.
And I was going to sorry, go ahead.
Yoshida talks about, he said this in an interview with Kind of Funny. This is a tweet from Okami 13. Shuhei Yoshida speaks on Bloodborne and why he thinks PlayStation hasn't done anything with it yet. Miyazaki-san really, really loved Bloodborne. I think he is interested, but he's so successful and he's so busy, so he cannot do it himself, and he doesn't want anyone else to touch it, and the PlayStation team respects his wish.
Hmm.
So I have no idea if that's, I mean, you know, Shuhei at this point doesn't work for PlayStation, and, you know, I don't know, but maybe.
Hey, why would he lie?
Why would he lie? Yeah. Like,
and sure, there could be like some, like
probably other reasons,
other truths that are excluded from that statement. But like, again, he's not going to just come up there and be like, yeah, fuck. Like, I think that I would trust that.
Yes, I agree.
Mr. Shu.
So Kami also has another tweet here that I think is interesting. List of canceled PlayStation Live Service games from roughly the past year. Are you ready for this?
What?
This is crazy.
Okay, here we go.
Concord, canceled. Unannounced God of War game, canceled. The Last of Us multiplayer, canceled. Spider-Man 2 multiplayer, canceled. Bend Studio multiplayer, we just learned about this, canceled. Twisted Metal from Firesprite, canceled. London Studios co-op game, studio closed and canceled. Deviations game multiplayer, I don't know. Deviation Games multiplayer game, I don't know what that is, but it was canceled apparently. And Payback, which is a third person Destiny spinoff from Bungie, also canceled. So like, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of their live service games have been canceled. If you remember, they had 12 that they were working on. So there's Fair Games is one of them, the Horizon multiplayer game is another, and then sounds like another that we don't know about, or maybe we do and it's escaping me. But I wonder if Jim Ryan was maybe leading the company astray. Like,
well,
I think, yeah.
I hope that with all these things, that Sony can, like, and their studios more specifically, can survive these kind of cancellations and stuff like that. I think it's a good sign that they've canceled them rather than, like, trying to push them through Concord. But I think Concord was a slightly different situation with its... what's the word? Mismanagement over long term, that eventually they were just probably trying to release that to.
It was also like it was in development and then they bought that studio.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, like obviously those, not all of those studios made it out, you know, but I would much rather that Bend and Bluepoint have their games canceled than have them closed. But also it's kind of like, why the fuck were you having Bluepoint do that?
I know, what a waste. Like, what a waste.
Yeah, it's a talented studio, and the same thing with Bend, you know what I mean? Like, we talk about Bend Days Gone, and like, it's fine. It's not nothing that's going to change your life, but what we said about Indiana Jones, what we said about Stellar Blade, what we say about these games that are fine enough, is like, well, what they do next is going to be great because they're going to learn and they're going to refine, they're going to hone and all that stuff. And so it is irritating. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To hear about the mismanaged stuff, but it's depressing. Yeah. Shuhei Yoshida also said this in his interview with Kind of Funny. He said, single player games cost so much, so they need additional income by doing remasters and porting to PC to be able to do that. And to paraphrase here, he says that fans should support remasters if they want first party PlayStation 5 games.
No.
Which.
No.
No.
No. Like, if I want the game, I should, but you don't tell me I should support it if I want this.
Correct. I think that's an insane thing to say.
Yeah, like that's terrible. Play this game again or you're not going to get new things.
Right. How about you just be fucking better at being a business?
Right. Yeah.
like your game doesn't need to cost $300 million.
Right.
Spider-Man 2. I'm sorry. It doesn't, you know. Or if you're going to do that, figure out better ways to spend. If you are dead set on spending that money, figure out a better way to make better games that are going to, you know what I mean? Like,
now if he like why would he say this, but like if he said like along the lines of don't hate on us for releasing all these games, I think that's
correct.
Different than saying play them and buy them, support
yes.
them. Like that's a very different thing to me.
Very different to explain why they happen versus to say you need to buy these.
Yeah. Like, cause, sorry, I'm not buying the 15th version of Last of Us you've created.
No, it's foolish. And also, like, there's a big difference, though, too, because I can imagine that, you know, you might hear people saying, like, oh, well, you guys are hypocrites. Like, you say go support, you know, games published by, like, Devolver Digital or whatever. Yeah, indie fucking games where that shit matters.
Yep.
Like, Sony's is a multi-billion dollar corporation. Like,
yep.
No, I will not buy your shitty game. Because for the promise of something down the line that probably will get canceled. Sorry. Like,
No.
It's an insane thing to say. And yeah, so there you go. Last thing here, Justin, Marvel Snap. Did you get into this game? This was the Marvel card game, on mobile devices. Did you
No,
play
I'm
this?
Not allowed to.
I think that's wise. Based on your habits.
By the way, speaking of my habits, we got to redo our game of the year list because number one game of the year is Pokemon training card game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually, I'm glad that you steered far fucking away from this thing. apparently it's very good. I've not played it. Not really my thing, but surprisingly, it went dark 2 days ago. The developer Second Dinner tweets, "We've been working around the clock to bring Marvel Snap back up in the US, and we hope to have it back online within 24 hours. We'll update you once it's back up. In the meantime, global players should be able to continue to play with no issues." The reason that this game went down is because Second Dinner, the studio behind the game, I believe, is owned by, I'm forgetting the name of the company that owns TikTok. And so this was hit as collateral damage as the result of the TikTok banning and unbanning and all the politics surrounding that from this past week. Apparently these devs did not know that this was happening and that it just dipped. Yeah, so yeah, they tweeted, "Unfortunately, Marvel Snap is temporarily unavailable in the U.S. app stores and is unavailable to play in the U.S. This outage is a surprise to us and wasn't planned. Marvel Snap isn't going anywhere. We're actively working on getting the game up as soon as possible, and we'll update you once we have more to share." Yeah, so very, very bizarre here. But what do you think about this?
I think I think all this goes along the lines of a lot of these technical things people don't quite understand how connected they are. It's not just like by banning TikTok, you are going to be stopping the Chinese government from stealing our data. There's so much more that goes into these kind of tech things that It's not only that I think us as Americans don't quite understand. I think a lot of legal people don't want to make rulings on this kind of stuff because, like, how do you control this stuff?
Yeah.
How do you stop
and it's
data?
And it's also, like, so frustrating, too, because, like it's not about the Chinese government stuff. It's not, right? Like, it is about the repression of the freedom of speech for Americans. But if it is actually about that, about, like, okay, we don't want, you know, governments to have your data, then, like, you have to look at, okay, well, fucking Facebook, you know what I mean? And Instagram, like that is a company that is, like, actively selling our data to other, you know, entities and stuff like that. And, like, to the government, like, it's one of those, like, frustrating, conundrums, right? About, like, I was just about how tech is so tied, as you're saying, to governments and all this sort of stuff. But it's that thing about, like, okay, if you were going to crack down on this one thing, it cannot be the exception to the rule. You know what I mean? You have to then figure out what to do, but they just don't care. But,
well, and I think also, like, with you talking about how it's a repression of freedom from speech, I think to a certain degree, depending on who you're talking to, I think the goal of the TikTok ban is different. And what I'm talking about is not only, like, you know, consumers of it. I think people in government, lobbyists, the Supreme Court, politicians all have different, like, motivations for wanting this kind of thing. And tech companies, of course. Why do you think Facebook and Elon Musk don't want TikTok? Because they're
money for them. They want people on their websites. Yes,
but, like, for this for the Supreme Court, I always go back to all those hearings against Mark Zuckerberg when you're having these senators, like, ask these out of date questions. And I think you go to the Supreme Court and you, like, present these cases, like, China can steal our data and stuff like that. Of course, the Supreme Court, if you've, like, seen any of their things, they're worried about that. And a lot of their ruling is more about that stuff rather than freedom of speech. So they're going to rule it one way. But also, like, it's Trump started this in 2020 saying that he basically wanted to repress this stuff. Like, it's just so confusing. As to, like, what the actual, like, problem is. And no matter what you do, there are going to be people that get affected, like the millions of people who use TikTok in America. And on top of that, the millions of people who play Marvel Snap.
Yeah. And then, like, that's the other weird thing, too, where it's just like they were like, we got a fucking caught astray here.
Yeah,
like, what's going on?
What the hell, man?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Are you ever just, like, worried about, like, hey, everything's always getting worse all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what do we do about that?
I don't know. Cry.
Yeah. I try and think about this, and this happened. I heard someone say this, I don't remember who, in 2016 when Trump won, and it was like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to do what I can to make this world better. And no one gets to vote on that. You know what I mean? So, like, and that's something I've thought about too. You know what I mean? Not just with Trump, right? Like, everything for the past ever. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna be good and I'm gonna make people happy and I'm gonna try my best to make this world better.
I also think I'll go back to my good buddy over here, Ted Lasso. And you got to be curious, not judgmental.
Oh, very true. I like that.
And I think that is such a, like, there are things that deserve to be judgmental about, but thinking about, you know, being curious about the world and, like, if you don't agree with something, you don't understand something, be curious as to why that person thinks that way. That's how you incite change rather than pointing fingers and yelling.
Yeah.
So be curious, everyone.
Yeah. I think that does it for us. Be go out there and be good.
Okay. Do you want to end positively?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I played Lorelei and the Laser Eyes again.
Ooh, and?
I moved a couple puzzles forward, and then I stopped.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And do you like it?
I don't dislike it.
Okay, that's good.
I think I have to toe the line of playing it in bite-sized chunks with also not waiting long enough to forget all the puzzles.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's, like, those, like, three major years that you got to kind of know, and I forgot them, and I had to, like, research what they were again as I was going through.
It's like 2014, 1960-something.
1980, 18, whatever. Yeah, there's, like, a couple of... a couple of key dates in there. But yeah, I solved a couple puzzles, felt pretty smart. And then I was wandering around this hotel for a little bit, called a couple people on the phone. Pretty fun.
I like it a lot. It's very moody.
Listeners, if you're still here with this, I'm not saying this to be out of pocket, but like, did the tampons come up at any point in that game? Because I've been trying to put them into anything that has like a, it's like, there's a hole in this. What do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, but why are they there?
To my understanding, no, the tampons do not come up, okay. At least in my journey with it. Yeah, if you're unfamiliar, in the game, you start with two items. You start in your purse, you have car keys, and you have tampons. But I kind of like that. I kind of like that it's just like, well, what would you have? Yeah, sure.
Oh, what about like a unwrapped piece of candy? Like, add one more in there?
I will say, I've never met a woman who just has car keys and tampons in their bag. Yeah. Like, that is, to me, the unrealistic part of it. Like, tampons, sure, but also, yeah, like... some chapstick, a coin they've had for a really long time,
makeup,
yeah, just some gum,
glasses,
yeah, like
a wallet,
yeah, a little bit of, yes, some key, you know, the keys are in there, but it did not come up for me, but I think it's fun.
Well, at least I know that's not like, I feel like sometimes I'm like in an adventure game where there's something that happens, I like try everything in my inventory and just happens that thing number one are some tampons. So
yeah, have you played any of the games in there,
like on the computer or on the Game Boy?
Oh yeah, there's the Game Boy. There's actually a few games. There's the computer games, which are like point and click adventure things, and then there are the PlayStation 1 games. You got into those yet?
I don't think I have.
Okay. Or let's take a Dreamcast, maybe, perhaps.
Okay,
but.
Okay. Yeah, no, I have not. Are they fun?
They're interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like games.
Yeah.
In quote, you know what I mean? Like it's more puzzle stuff.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's always a puzzle. If I'm learning anything about that game.
It is.
It's always a puzzle.
Do you think it's scary? Are you freaked out by it?
No. Like, I'm feeling like there's vibes of it trying to be creepy, but also, like, I feel like it's not.
It's to me, like, not horror, but it is unsettling.
Yeah, it's like the atmosphere is a little off with it, for sure.
Like, anytime the guy in the suit shows up, I always get like major goosebumps because
he
just like walk
weird.
In and yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, because he's like Bonjour now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Go out there and do something good today for yourself and for someone else. That's what I'm going to do when we hang up.
If I hang out with Heisme, is that doing something good for someone else?
Certainly doing something good for you, for the fucking soul.
Okay. All right.
Have you, I mean, how deep into that quest have you gotten?
Not super deep. I mean, I'd like, okay. Yeah. I well, like his quest or like who he is.
Mm-hmm. His quest.
Well, I know that his tragic backstory, but like, I don't know.
His quest explores the tragic backstory.
Oh, I'm sure it does. And you probably have to find a fish merchant to like, you know, I saw Heisman passing here. Yeah. But I need to have four
exactly
wisdom in order to...
Oh,
talk
is that true?
To that fish. I don't fucking know. It's always like some random thing. Like, oh, eloquence. Where do I get eloquence? And there you go.
Yeah.
You got to start pounding on the eloquence for a little bit.
That's true. I like that there's like options anywhere you go to just like, you can just like sit down and just like observe and it improves. You know what I mean? Like there's like always like opportunities in every place to go that can, it just like streamlines it. But
I think I went from like 6,000 popularity to something like 49. Like that was quite the jump.
Oh, 49,000? Yeah.
No.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the ranking. I went from like 6,000, all of a sudden 49. I'm like, I think I missed some stuff in between
that. Yeah, I was at like 10. I was in like the top 10. I was like, we got here fast.
Yeah, Oh, whoa. That means you can't be killed then. That's pretty cool.
Oh, is that right? Is that how that works? Yeah.
Yeah, if you're one of the top candidates, then you're protected by gods or something like that. However that works.
Yeah. What a game.
I love the story, man.
It's interesting. It's neat. I think that's going to do it for us today, though. Thank you so much for listening. We'd like to remind you that you can join our Discord server. The link to that is in the description of this episode. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/hitboxpod by becoming a $1 podcast producer or a $3 deluxe podcast producer like Jane Nolan, GKS, and Josh Durham. If you can't support us there, that's fine. Follow us on Twitter at hitboxpod or rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Yeah, I think it sucks right now. And I think there's no getting around that. But I think that it's very easy for us to fall into despair. I certainly do sometimes, but I think that it's good to remember that we are here for each other. And I think that should be our primary goal before it is to fall into despair. Hopefulness, I think, is a full-time job right now. But I think it's a job worth doing. So
yeah, always stay positive.
Yeah. And we will get through it together. You know what I mean? And I think that's the thing that they don't want you to remember.
Yeah.
Always remember, old games are old. Bye.
Bye. I'll stop recording.